Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
So, it's the first weekend of December, and I'm wondering, do you have the tree up? Are your packages wrapped? Are they bought? Are the Christmas cards out? You know, it has been a crazy couple of weeks since Thanksgiving, and it seems that Christmas messages are being inundated to our cell phones, our mobile devices, and everywhere you look, there's a sale, and you wonder, is the sale going to get better than it was the week before? And it's crazy because you just kind of like sit back and you go, okay, I'm not going to buy those Christmas cards until they're 70% off on Shutterfly or Snapfish. And you wait, and a few days, sure enough, here comes the coupon code right past your other sales. It's crazy. But I've been on the lookout for those original ideas this year or something that's really kind of cool. My go-to gift this year is a junior scope from microscope.com. It's free shipping right now, and it's $50 off. So it's $89. It makes a great family gift. I think it works well into the whole STEM learning. And it's something that I feel like I'm not, that's going to be entertaining for the whole family, but I'm not like buying a toy for the family. So that's my go-to this year. And of course, it's December, right? And so just when you think you are done, everybody comes out with like new stuff. And from Zuru Toys comes Schnooks, these really cool $10-ish toy dolls that you shake their head and they actually expand by like five times the size they were in the package. Very cool. Fortunately, they're under $15, so you can get one and stick it in the old stocking there, and or give it to Santa to stuff in the stocking. And you can find them at Walmart this week. They come out this week. And Pillow Pets, of course, comes out with their Frozen Pillow Pets. And if you've gone to see the movie Coco, you will see that there's a new short for Frozen before Coco. Well, you can now get those characters and Pillow Pets. And so you might want to check that out. They make great gifts as well. A little unusual and creative and different because, after all, everybody else has already bought their gifts. So the new stuff that comes out, if you waited to the last minute, you're probably going to get some good deals. And I actually spent a lot of time this Cyber Monday on LandsEnd.com. LandsEnd.com, tomorrow is their Monogram Monday. They've got all sorts of deals on monogrammed canvas bags and sweaters, and there's nothing like a personalized gift. And they last week were 50% off. So check it out tomorrow, LandsEnd.com on Monogram Monday. When we return, we've got a great show lined up, a combination of some of my favorite archive segments and some fresh guests that are going to join us right here. And we're going to kick off the show talking about Sunday suppers. So get your appetite ready and we'll be right back.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I am excited to have with us the author of Sunday Suppers, Simple Delicious Menus for Family Gatherings. Her name is Cynthia Graubert, and I, like Cynthia, think that Sunday suppers are one of the most important dinners of the entire week for a family. And I'm excited to share Cynthia's Southern food passion with her as well, because I am a Southern girl who loves Southern cooking. It might not love my thighs, but I love it. Welcome, Cynthia, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about why you picked Sunday suppers as the focus of your book.
You know, it's really the best night of the week. It's the end of the weekend, and it is the beginning of the new week. And I think it's a great time to eat dinner together as a family and talk about the weekend and the week ahead and have a conversation, spend time together. And Sunday supper is the perfect opportunity for that.
Yeah, I always thought that Sunday dinner was important because it was like a way for me to talk with the family about what was ahead for the week, what we had to do, where we had to go. And I just felt like if I couldn't do it during the week because it got too crazy with other people's schedules and practices and stuff, that was just a really great day for us to pull together.
Exactly. I think so many of us struggle to find time to sit down at the dinner table together. I want more people to do it. I want more people to give it a shot and find their success. And I think the best way to start is by doing it on Sunday. And for all the reasons you mentioned, and getting a jump start on the week, knowing what everybody's got going on in the week ahead, I think it really helps center everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of your favorite foods to cook on those Sundays when you're cooking?
Well, now that we're into this cooler weather, it really is nice to do a pot roast. I love short ribs. And of course, the all-time favorite roast chicken. And I would love for people to cook two roast chickens. It doesn't cost you any more in time. And then you've got a second bird there that you can use for meals during the week. It's really a smart cook's tool in their toolbox.
Yeah, it's. I love to do that with chicken or turkey because, and particularly like this week, turkeys are on sale everywhere. Because then you can like chop it up during the week and put it in a casserole, or you can use it in a salad, and you can use it for sandwiches. And like it goes on forever for the whole week.
It does. It does. And then you can also, you know, this time of year, I love doing a standing rib roast, a prime rib for Christmas or for Hanukkah, you know, having a beautiful big piece of meat, have guests over. You know, that's the other great thing about Sunday supper is, you know, have friends in. It's not a late night. You can have a lot of time during the day to prepare and have guests in for an easy dinner.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So who would benefit from your cookbook? Who, like, would it be all levels of cookers or master chefs?
I think I can hardly find someone who couldn't benefit from this cookbook. I think my recipes are very doable recipes. Ingredients from your local grocery store, no extra trips to specialty shops. The cooking skill, definitely the recipes guide you right through what you need to know, and you have great results because all my recipes are tested, and you can have great confidence in them. And more experienced cooks will like the slightly new and different ways to cook things, and it's always, my recipes are always a jumping off point. Make it like the recipe says, but then put a spin on it. Make it your own. That's what I want people to do with the recipes I write.
Yeah, it's a good idea to make it your own. So what are some of your favorite recipes in there? And I want to know the ones with the Southern flair.
With a Southern flair. Well, a chicken pot pie is a classic, and I've got some fried chicken, and it's brined in sweet tea, which is a little bit different take. There's a sweet potato cauliflower and greens casserole, and that will be on my holiday menu because I love having those flavors together. And it's beautiful because you've got the orange from the sweet potato and you've got the greens in there and the cauliflower and there's a nice cheese sauce that goes with that. But oh, it's so heartwarming. I've got chicken and dumplings. Am I making you hungry yet? I hope.
Yes, you are. And I'm just wondering, you know, I'm sure some of our listeners are thinking, gosh, this sounds like it takes so long and I just don't have the time to make those kind of meals. Are they time consuming or did you save us some minutes of our day?
I saved you minutes in your day because I wrote the book as menus. So you can go right to a menu, and in the introduction to the menu, it tells you exactly how to put that meal together. So what your timeline should be, what you should start first. Often there's something that can be made in the morning that can be refrigerated and baked off in the evening. So I break it up so you don't spend a huge block of time in the kitchen. There are many slow cooker recipes in there, plenty of things that cook themselves. Either they go in the oven, they're prepped and go in the oven, and you don't have to think about anything else until the timer goes off. So there's a wide variety. Of course, there's seafood and chicken and beef and pork, lots of vegetables, vegetarian, and then, of course, fabulous desserts. No holes barred on the dessert. The timely apple cake for this season is just really, really good.
I cannot wait to make one of your recipes. Going to have to do it this week. I've missed Sunday, but I can always got another Sunday next week, hopefully, God willing. Thank you so much for joining us. And we've got a link to your website on which is your name on Mom Talk Radio. And thank you for sharing some of your Sunday with us here on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, this show is just going to keep getting better and better and better throughout the hour, because we're going to go to one of my favorite segments and have a replay of it. But then we're going to come back and we're going to have Jennifer Irwin. Her new book, Address the Color of the Sky, is out, and it is hot and steamy. And Jennifer is going to tell us how she got to be a best-selling author. So don't miss that interview. It is steamy. I'm just telling you, it's going to be steamy. I know Jennifer. So when we return, back to the archives and then back to steamy Jennifer.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
This broadcast of Mom Talk Radio originally aired September 18th, 2016.
It's my favorite segment of Mom Talk Radio. We talk to moms, everyday moms that are living the life and blogging and tweeting. And this is Gwendolyn Mulholland. She is the mom of two children, a tween and a teen, it looks like. And she blogs at FindingSanityInOurCrazyLife.com and tweets at FindingSanity1. And that's the numeral one. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Gwendolyn.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you want to talk about a really important topic, and it's something that we sometimes just don't want to talk about, and that is parenting and mental health. So it's obviously there's a lot going on with kids, and especially back to school time, and the holidays are crazy. But tell us a little bit about your experiences, and you have some tips to share as well, correct?
Yes, I do. I mean, parenting itself is hard to tackle on, you know, a day-to-day basis. And then when you add in having a mental illness, you know, and trying to balance your mental health and still being a parent, things can get a little complicated, especially at this time of year when all of a sudden routines are being put back in place, the joys of summer are gone. You know, it's kind of nice to have the downtime in the summer, but schedule is good at times.
Yes.
And the one really big thing that if no one does anything else is to take time for yourself. And this is something that moms and dads, you know, need to do anyways. You have to take care of you in order to be able to take care of your family. And as someone who has bipolar disorder, it's hard to take time for yourself because you feel like you're cutting your family out. You know, that you're taking away from them. But the one thing over the years I have learned is I'm only as good for them as I am for me.
That's
so
true.
I always, you know, whenever anyone asks, I tell them, you know, you do need to put yourself first at times because you can't help them, you know, if you're worn out, if you're worn down. And, you know, it's something little as much as, you know, sometimes I even like to just go grocery shopping by myself. You know, I like grocery shopping, so that, you know, that's a stress reliever. It could be going to sit at the park, going out with your girlfriend, saying, I'm going to read a book for 30 minutes, go away. And that's okay. And we shouldn't feel guilty about that. And when we do that, you know, it kind of goes into the next thing I feel that's important is setting boundaries. You know, if you say this is what I'm going to do, you know, I need this time for myself, is to set those boundaries up and stick with them. It's okay to tell your kid, you know, your children, okay, you need to go see your dad during this time, that's, you know, for me. Or telling your spouse, no, I need this time, because it helps you overall, which once again goes back to helping the family. And with the kids back in school, we tend to feel like we're shorter on time. You know, they've got after-school activities and, you know, different school events, but it is still really important, you know, to set those boundaries. And even when it comes to their school activities, you know, and school events, I mean, the schools are always sending home notes, you know, oh, we need volunteers for this, and, you know, we need volunteers for that. And I homeschool, so I personally don't have as much of that now as when the kids were in school. But it's still important to have those boundaries and say, this is what I'm going to do, and stick with them and not feel guilty about it. Because I think, yeah, as moms, we tend to make ourselves feel guilty.
I think a lot of moms do exactly feel that. They feel guilty, and they can't, you know, because they're obviously have to give 100%, 110% to their family. And you're right. It doesn't help anybody if the mom's, her tank's half full. You know, if your tank's half full, it's not going to help. The best analogy, and I have 2 points to make really quickly. Best analogy I had was from one of my babysitters when my kids were really young, and she used to be a flight attendant. And she used the analogy of when you get the safety emergency procedure talk at the beginning of each flight, and they say, when the oxygen mask drops, put it on yourself first, then assist your child. And that was her way of saying, that's exactly how you should look at your whole, you know, everything you do. In other words, start with yourself, and then everybody else will be just fine, you know? So it's very interesting.
Yeah. And it is amazing how once you set, you know, accepting the boundaries and taking time for yourself, once you start doing that, the family falls in line. You know, the kids start to see, your husband starts to see, oh, wow, yeah, she is, you know, a little nicer person and not as stressed when, you know, she's had time to herself, or, you know, and you actually end up being able to give more, you know, by taking more time for yourself.
Right.
Because you don't feel burnt out.
Right.
And the analogy with the oxygen mask is totally spot on.
Do we find information about this on your blog? Your blog is findingsanityinourcrazylife.com.
Yep. And on the blog, I will actually have a link with those tips and three more that I find, you know, really helpful just to help, you know, with the parenting. They will be on the website. It'll actually go live today. So they will be able to access that information. And, you know, there's other helpful tips about parenting and, you know, things just to make life easier.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Gwendolyn, and best of luck in the school year and that you're homeschooling. You're very brave. I always wanted to, but I never had the courage to do it. So good for you. And have a wonderful fall and holiday. And when we come back, we're joined by Dr. Ali Domar. She is the author of Finding Calm for the Expectant Mom. Stay with us.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Okay, so this segment is going to be a crazy segment because let me take you back. 22 years ago, two moms pregnant, working out in the gym every single day with their big old bellies. And we had nothing on our minds but working out, staying thin, going into labor fit. And fast forward, one of us now is host of Mom Talk Radio, and another is a author of her first novel, which is so good and so steamy, Address the Color of the Sky. My friend, longtime friend, Jennifer Irwin is the author, and she's joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, I know, right? That's so awesome.
I know it is. So tell me a little bit about the book. What got into you that you decide one day I'm like just going to sit down and write a novel? So talk a little bit about that.
Okay. At the time that I started writing the book, I was going through a divorce, and it was a really hard time in my life. And I had written back in college and when I worked in advertising, but I stopped while I was raising my kids. And I thought, you know, I really want to write and I want to feel better. and it helped me heal. And I was also teaching Pilates. And at the time, I was teaching privates to all kinds of women, from people that had their own jets to college students to strippers and Playboy bunnies. So every type of woman. And I realized that women are really similar, no matter what their socioeconomic background is. They all want the same things: to be heard, to have friendships, to have love, just the basics in life. And at the time, a lot of men were coming out as sex addicts. And I thought, I became interested in the difference between the male and female sex drive. And I thought, well, are there women sex addicts? And I started doing research and just decided to sort of go down that path with my book. And the rest is history.
Wow. That's a really weird question to ponder. So is it one of those things that's more popular or more prevalent than we actually think?
Well, there are people out there that think sex addiction is just an excuse for people to say that they've had sex with a lot of people. But honestly, it is, from everything that I've learned, it is a shame-filled addiction, and people have a lot of remorse, and it's just like any other addiction. You feel a void, and the protagonist in my book, her black hole inside of her was eating away at her, and she filled it up with men rather than shopping or, you know, a lot of things, a glass of wine, whatever. And I basically go into, have her checking into rehab, and there's the cast of characters in rehab, and it goes back and forth in time. So you see what happened in her life, and you begin to really care about her. The book opens and she's having sex with a stranger on an airplane on her way to rehab. And you're like, who is this girl? Like, what's her deal?
Mm-hmm.
And then as you start to see her life, and I'm very interested in childhood, and some people rise above bad things that have happened in their lives, and some people can't get past it. And a lot of it is your mental, your capacity to have positive self-talk. So in the book, I go over, you can hear what she's saying, and it's in italics, and her thoughts, and the thoughts begin to change as she heals through rehab. And it's very interesting how that sort of, and of course her addiction's men, so she has a minor slip up, which I don't want to reveal too much, but, men are everywhere. It's not like you can score a drink or a line of cocaine in rehab. So, you know, she has a little slip up.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So how has the reaction been to the book? I know, you know, the friends I know who have read it are like, wow. But how has that been?
Well, right now I have 4.9 stars on Amazon and about 20-something reviews. And I have 4.78 or 9 stars on Goodreads. So it's for a debut novel. I mean, I've really been pleased with the reviews that are coming in. People are finding it to be a page turner. People are finding it extremely relatable, multi-generational. One book blogger, who's very young, she's in her 20s. She's like, I read it one day. I gave it to my mom. Now she's reading it. We can't stop talking about it. And one of my friends who just texted me yesterday said she read it, and now she's giving it to her daughter to read. And then she said she wished she hadn't because she wanted to read it again. So
that's funny.
I think, you know, I sold the film rights to it, so it is being made into a movie. So that's kind of exciting as well, that it's going to be on the big screen. A lot of people want to read a book before they go see the film. So the people that are super into films and book to film situations, they're going to read the book just because they want to read it before they see the movie. But just personally for me, it helped me when I was right, because I sold the film rights before I finished the manuscript, that I was onto something, and that it was something relatable, and something that right now Hollywood's very hot for the protagonist that's flawed, the female protagonist, whether likable or unlikable. We're, you know, women are human, and I think it's sort of, to quote Reese Witherspoon, sick of seeing the roles where the women are going, what should we do now? You know,
right?
Because no one says that.
Well, and also, all we have to do is turn on the evening news to hear about all the flawed men. So we might as well, like, bring in somebody new, right?
You're absolutely right. I feel like I sort of rode that wave a little bit, because Prudence does have some situations in which she is assaulted, and she sees herself as a victim. from her childhood. And I learned that when you see yourself as a victim, you become victimized more often. And I think that what's going on in the world is very important to my book, mm-hmm. because my book covers how you get past that and how you stand up to that, and that you have to have these inner voices. If something feels wrong, it's wrong. And
right, right. Voice. Well, I want to thank you for sharing some of your time with me today on Mom Talk Radio and my audience. And I want to encourage everyone to pick up a copy. We're going to pick up another copy in our office since ours has disappeared. I think someone took it and is reading it, and it'll mysteriously appear next week or the end of the week. It's called A Dress, The Color of the Sky. You want to check it out. And Jennifer Irwin has a website you can go to and learn everything about her. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you, Jennifer. And I hope it's not another 25 years before I get to talk to you again. And when we return, more switcheroo. We're going into the archives. We're coming back with live guests. We're going to let you come back and see what you get.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I wish that my daughter was in the United States right now to be able to see the TV series of our next guest. Her name is Nafsika Antipas, and she's the host of the world's first vegan TV series. It's plant-based by Nafsika, and she's recently launched her health coaching practice called the Compassionate Lifestyle Coach. She's doing a lot of really, really cool things, and we'd like to welcome her to Mom Talk Radio, the next cool thing on her resume. So welcome, Nafsika, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you, Maria.
This is really cool. First of all, tell us about the TV series. How can we see it and tune in and support you?
Sure. So we're in between seasons right now, actually. I'm working on season 3, which will be filmed this winter. It is on the A&E network. It was Wednesdays, 7:30 a.m. But all that I can kind of get confirm once we have season 3 underway. And if you need to check up on, the listing, TV listings, you can check out my site, nafsika.ca, and I can keep you up to date over there.
So it's the holidays, and I'm wondering, it's not always easy, I don't think, to be vegan during the holiday season, or at least my daughter, who is vegan, has told me that. As I'm preparing things, she's like, Mom, where's things for me? So what are some of your tips?
If you're like me and your daughter, you're kind of almost like the only vegan in the family. So you kind of wonder, am I going to get to eat anything when it comes to, holiday dinners? And so I have a couple of tips that I do. First of all, I like to eat a little in advance, not like a 3-course meal or anything, but just, definitely to eat a little something just in case all you're going to be eating is bread and potatoes. But of course, if you're not shy and you want to ask the host what kind of, appetizers and dishes they'll be providing, that may be, a good idea to kind of check with them in advance. But a little note on that is that sometimes they might think it's vegan and it's not really vegan. Like if it's a salad, it may look like it's vegan, but if it's the dressing has egg or milk in it, or it's topped off the chicken, then we're not really going to eat that. So it's just kind of things that you kind of have to figure out before you go to a dinner party or something. And it'll be a good idea just, grab a bite to eat just in case.
So what about bringing your own vegan dish? And I know that a lot of times we make vegan dishes in our house and nobody even knows the difference.
That's the other thing, is a lot of people get scared when they hear vegan, but a lot of the things that we make are actually vegan. They're plant-based. So what I always do when I'm invited to a holiday gathering is I bring my own plant-based dish, something I believe that everyone will enjoy. And so, that way you at least you have one thing to eat, if there's nothing else there. But most probably you'll have other options, there'll be other dishes to eat. But if you bring your own, it's a way of saying, here, try this out. And getting people to try something of yours and getting people to talk about it. And, and that way you also get to eat something that you like.
What about bringing positivity to the party? You say that's another tip to get through the holidays as a vegan.
with being vegan and everything, some people might think there's, you know, some like a negative side to it. But actually, if you come there with a positive, like bringing positivity to the party, you're going to kind of change up everything. Like basically, you don't want to get into talking about ethics and things like that during a holiday. So you want to avoid any kind of ethics battle during, you know, but because diets and traditions are deeply personal, so you want to kind of keep it on the positive side. And that by that, the best thing to do is just discuss why you enjoy being vegan, how it makes you feel happy and healthy, and let other people see the good side of that and bringing out the positive subject. And hopefully, you know, they'll come around.
And what if you decide it's not about going to someone's home, but you want to eat out?
So it'll be a really good idea to be involved with the planning, so you can get to pick a restaurant with everybody, so you can make sure you guys pick something that's, you know, everyone's going to enjoy. And most likely, you know, almost anywhere you'll go, there will be vegan options anyways. Like even if you go to a steakhouse, you'll be able to find vegan options. But, you know, it would be great to kind of pick a spot. And now there's so many vegan trendy restaurants popping up everywhere that it's kind of like, okay, why don't we go check out this new hot and trendy restaurant, you know, and suggest that to go. And that way, and make sure that has a great atmosphere and with good music, and just kind of make sure everyone has a good time. And that kind of makes a big difference, and it'll encourage people to try new foods that they normally wouldn't, you know, would have tried, and that way they'll be even more open for the next time.
What about involving your family, like in some kind of detox and cleanse? Will you talk a little bit about that?
I always like to do this, you know, with my family, to encourage them to kind of do a detox cleanse, or kind of like basically like a cleanse, you know, and what's a great idea for even like to offer it as a present for like, you know, a Christmas present or something. And if you get everybody involved, it's just basically like you can find, okay, if somebody's having some skin issues, or they maybe have gained some weight after the holidays, well, you might propose, well, why don't we do a 14-day detox cleanse? And then stressing on the positive effects the diet switch will have in such a small, you know, amount of time, and they'll see that they'll feel better, their skin will glow, because you're removing like all the milk products and everything. And if you want help with that, I mean, I can help you guys out. I have, you know, I offer this on my own site, actually, nefsika.ca. And don't be surprised if after the cleanse, they come back to you and want more tips and, you know, more advice on how to maybe go vegan completely, or just, you know, because they see that, well, they're feeling much better after they've removed, you know, dairy and meat from their body, and certain other products that maybe are causing, you know, inflammation. So that's what the detox cleanse does. It kind of removes everything out, and then you start to bring everything back in. So that way you figure out what your body's intolerances are, or maybe even allergies that you didn't even know about.
NAFSIKA.ca. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're going to go back into the archives.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
This broadcast of Mom Talk Radio originally aired September 18th, 2016.
It's the foodie segment of Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary, and for Maria, I'm pleased to welcome Katie Sullivan Morford. She is the author of a new book just released last month called Rise and Shine: Better Breakfast for Busy Mornings. She's a freelance food and nutrition writer and has a fantastic resume of articles that have appeared in major cooking and online publications. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Katie.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Breakfast, it's obviously the most important meal of the day. We know this. But we're busy. Back to school especially, we're just trying to get in the routine. And even, I mean, I'm not a good breakfast eater, so I think I need to work harder for my kids to make a healthy breakfast. Can you give us a few tips on making a good, healthy breakfast?
Well, I mean, my whole premise of my book is exactly that. It's really those 260 weekday breakfasts a year that so many of us, you know, parents and non-parents, struggle to get on the table. And I really kind of took approach of solutions. So everything from really, really quick and easy things like smoothies that you can bang out in a couple of minutes, to simple toasts that are nutritious and delicious breakfast sandwiches, and a lot of make-ahead things that you can say when you have a Sunday and you have an hour and you and your child can get together and do a beautiful loaf of whole grain banana bread or some freezer-friendly breakfast burritos and stow those in the freezer and you can have them all week long. So there's lots and lots of solutions that are, you know, more interesting, delicious, and nourishing than either skipping, of course, or pouring a box of cereal.
Actually, that was, you answered two of my questions, because I was thinking, I hope you have make-ahead stuff in this book, because this cookbook, because a lot of moms, you know, even Maria has always said, like, if you can cook batches of food on Sunday, and then during the week, you're not scrambling to just, like you said, throw a bowl of cereal on the table.
Yeah, and I mean, even I also have a lot of ideas of things that you can do the night before, so that, for example, when I'm cooking dinner, you know, at the same time I might be throwing together, you know, ingredients for a quick parfait in the morning, or I have even some things like, you know, a simple pancake batter that you can make the night before, or a waffle batter, and then just turn your waffle iron, throw the batter in there while you're making your coffee. Something that we more typically think of as a weekend thing with a little bit of advanced prep you can do during the week.
In the book, then, is it also kid-friendly recipes? Did you mention that earlier?
Yeah, I mean, the whole book is for families and parents. There's lots of things. I have three children myself. They tested and tasted and gave critique on every single recipe in the book.
That's
and
cool.
I also talk a lot about ways that, you know, kids can get involved in making their own breakfast. I mean, I think that's a great gateway meal to get them learning some confidence in the kitchen. And I have a lot of fun things in here. I have, for little ones, I have something I call teddy bear toast that is just, you know, peanut butter and bananas, but you sort of craft it in a really simple way to look like a teddy bear. I have
Cute.
A breakfast yogurt popsicle. You know, that's especially for the kind of grumpy morning person who doesn't want to get out of bed a minute earlier. You can make this nourishing, it's made with Greek yogurt and chia seeds and raspberries, and, you know, put one of these in their hand and, you know, send them out the door of the bus.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I like those yogurt pops sound great. And I actually have, you know, just one of my three is the grumpy morning and doesn't even like breakfast, really. Like, physiologically, she just doesn't really, she's always just the very picky, almost a non-breakfast eater. How do I approach that?
Yeah, I think I actually have a section in the book called Breakfast Battles Made Better. And I sort of break down all what I call the breakfast personalities. And certainly one of them is, you know, someone who says, I just don't have an appetite for breakfast. And
exactly.
I think, you know, we all are different. You know, one of my girls happens to be like a champion breakfast eater, and my middle one, not so much. So it's sort of like figuring out what works for each child. One of the things I say is just have your child at least sit at the table for a couple of minutes, because sometimes if they take the time and they're sitting there and there's something simple and nourishing sitting in front of them, they may find they have an appetite after all. And also, you know, a lot of times with my little one, it's packing something up that she can take to go, because even, you know, 30 minutes after she leaves the house, that's when the appetite might kick in, and then she has, you know, a whole grain muffin in her backpack, or a, you know, the book has some breakfast bars, and can pull that out with a container of milk and actually have something, you know, good for her.
Right. All right. Where can we find the book, Rise and Shine, Better Breakfast for Busy Mornings? Where can we find it, and give us your website?
MomsKitchenHandbook.com. And there's links on my site to buy the book. And, of course, you can get it in local bookstores and on Amazon.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. Can't wait to talk to you again. And during the week, don't forget to tweet me at Mom Talk Radio. Love to hear from you and love to be with you here on Mom Talk.